Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Cowboys Seahawks tomorrow night here on The Fan. And joining us now, the COO of the Dallas Cowboys, it is Stephen Jones. How you doing, Stephen?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well.
So, G-Bag Nation had had your dad on earlier, and I think they asked him if he had a white suit, since we're whiting out the stadium tomorrow night. Do you have a good luck suit or a white suit? What's your attire going to be like tomorrow night?
I don't know that I have a white suit, so I'm probably going to have to. I'll have a white shirt on, but I've got a lucky sport coat and a set of pants that I'm going to be wearing because they've been good to me.
Well, I know, Stephen, yeah, doing the pregame show with you when Nick and Rob Phillips interview all the time, you've got the same suit on. So you're like the rest of us in this business. When did your superstition start? Is it something that's always been with you since the days when you started with the Cowboys? Does it go back to your days as a player at Arkansas?
I think it goes even back further than that, all the way back into high school.
I
was always superstitious, and I think I got it from my grandmother. She was always a very superstitious lady, and I paid attention to it, and I think it rubbed off on me. But I think in general, our entire family's got some superstition to them and believe in good luck clothes, good luck items, things like that may just help put you over the top. And certainly we'll need some of that good luck on Saturday, but looking forward to it.
Well, Stephen, obviously you had a good luck charm in your back pocket when you made this trade for Amari Cooper, you know, several weeks ago. And I've sat with you and your father in a draft room when neither one of you had a first-round pick. And I know how agonizing that is for you. But I want to know, with the vision, was it you or was it Jerry? Who had the vision? And I know you do a lot of things together, but at 3-5, who had the vision to say, hey, we could still take this division if we make this move and give up this first-round pick?
Yeah, I think, Brian, we wouldn't have given up a first-round pick to try to, that's a pretty good long shot coming from 3-5.
Right.
I think most people were betting against us. And, you know, when you give up a first-round pick, as you said, we went through a lot of agony not having them. And, you know, we had pretty much decided we weren't going to do that again.
Right.
But, you know, the Amari Cooper deal just checked all the boxes. As you know, we were in the Earl Thomas hunt early.
Yes, sir.
With Seattle. But, we decided not to make that. They wanted pretty much a one, and we didn't want to give it up because of Earl's age and just decided to pass. So that ended up working out for us because we did have our ammunition then to pull the trigger with Amari. But the big thing about Amari was that obviously he gave you a shot to improve your team and have a shot to get back in it. But the bigger thing was that we knew he was going to be a player that could be around here 5, 6, 7 years with and pair him with Zeke and Dak. And we looked at the draft. I mean, we went through this extensively. We looked at the draft to see who was going to be coming out. Is there anybody there that could fill that number one receiver void? We just went through the whole thing, looked what it might cost to go up and what teams had given in the past to go up high in the draft to get a player. If we ever got our hands around, there might be one there. And just really felt like Amari checked all the boxes. He was young. He was a proven number one. He's been to Pro Bowls. He's had 1,000-yard seasons. And we just really felt like what he could do for our future, plus give us an opportunity maybe to get back in it, was the right value. And even though it was painful thinking about what it's going to be like in the spring without a one, I think we can think about Amari and be pleased.
Stephen, what I've always known about you and working with you again and your father is that you will do everything in your power to try and help your football team. As you look now in the playoffs, as you get ready for the playoffs, do you feel like, though, that you've helped your team enough to carry this thing through?
Well, Brian, we're a young team. And, whenever you're young, there's some unknowns. Young players, at the end of the day, when you get into the playoffs and the big games, you've got a little question mark as to how they're going to perform, whereas obviously a veteran player who's been there and done that, you've got a better feel for what's going to happen. But, I just have a feeling that this team has continued to improve all year. They've built on their successes They're really, I think, starting to believe in themselves and one another. I think the chemistry is really coming together. And I do think we have a great opportunity right here in front of us. But as I said, Brian, it's a young football team. I think overall we have put together a really good team, not only for this year but for the future. And this is a great opportunity to see how they perform under pressure. It's a really good Seattle Seahawks football team. We played them early in the year at their place and, you know, played well against them, but not good enough to win. But I think we've improved a lot. I know they obviously feel like they've improved as well. So it's going to be a great game Saturday night.
Steven, I was going to ask you about the last week, you know, in the Giants game, Jason Garrett was very consistent about going out and wanting to win this football game. In your pregame show with us on DallasCowboys.com, you were adamant about going out there and winning this football game, though. Talk about, though, the fact that, again, you got these young players, you go out and you win a game like that against the Giants. Yeah, the Giants are struggling a little bit, but they still got, you know, they still pay their players. You know, that's something you said pregame, it's going to be a tough game and all that. But talk about the decision to play Prescott the whole game. Was that something that was difficult for you to have to make with Jason, or was it something like, hey, all along, we're just going to go do this, we're going to find a way to win this game?
No, not at all. I think everybody from Jason to Jerry to Will, myself, we're on the page that this is a young team that needs to continue to get better and build on momentum. And we just really felt like if, you know, we weren't putting a player at risk from an injury standpoint, you know, that, you know, we had several players that were dinged up, from
right.
Zach to Tyron, and Tyron Crawford, Tyron Smith. And then, of course, Zeke, you know, he never says anything about it, but he's had a long season and he had, you know, several dings there that we just felt like it was in our best interest not to play him. But after that, we pretty much played everybody that was healthy. And the plan was going in was to play to win. That meant playing all four quarters for all our top-line players, and we understood that. But, you know, as you saw during the game when Leighton got an injury, we
right.
were conservative there. When Suafila got an injury, we were conservative there. We wanted to be smart, but we wanted to build on what we had done up to that point. We wanted to win a football game then, wanted to get to 10-6, and wanted to have momentum going into the playoffs.
So looking back at the regular season, you guys were 10-6, but you look at those six losses, the quarterbacks were all – what you would call, you know, mobile quarterbacks, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, who we'll get this week, and even Andrew Luck, Alex Smith, Deshaun Watson, Mariota. Is that just a coincidence that those losses came against, you know, those types of guys? Or is the mobile quarterback or the quarterback that can make plays with their legs, you know, a specific thing that gave you guys trouble this season?
Well, I just think it's a given in general that mobile quarterbacks give defensive coordinators fits. They have to account for that quarterback, whereas in the past defenses have been built you know, really to have 11 on 10 with the quarterback not really being accounted for as a runner. And now, you know, I think it's a new era. I think these young quarterbacks are winning football games. I mean, you look at a guy, you know, the guy at Baltimore, LeVar Jackson, you know, he's making great plays for the Ravens there. And I just think, you know, when people play the Cowboys, they got to account for Dak. And, you know, that opens other things up. You obviously can't use that extra man to take another guy out. So I just think, you know, when you play these mobile quarterbacks, they're a handful. And certainly I don't think it's happen chance that our losses have come to teams with mobile quarterbacks. But I do believe, you know, that we're going to have a good game plan and that we can beat teams with mobile quarterbacks. We just got to go out there, the defense does, and play Rod Marinelli football, play hard, play fast, and I think good things will happen.
Steven, you mentioned Rod Marinelli, and I want to give you and your father again credit for going out and getting Chris Richard, though, and what he has meant to your to the organization. Talk about a little bit about with the dynamic between Rod and Chris and what they've done together this year as far as working with the defense and getting you guys to this point to where this is a group, the unit that you can hang your hat on, where coming out of training camp, maybe we didn't always think that, but now you can kind of can see that.
Well, I think Chris was a perfect compliment to Rod. When we had him in for the interview, I think Rod knew it right away and certainly was looking forward to working with him and going to give him quite a bit of responsibility in terms of what he brought to the table. He obviously fulfilled all that and more. I think he's got great energy. I think he's been great for that young defensive back room. I think our personnel fits his philosophy and what he likes to do. Obviously, he spent a lot of time there in Seattle, and, they play a similar type defense. I think he's obviously been a godsend for Byron Jones.
Sure.
But, the way he teaches our cornerbacks to play, I think, fits right in with the skill set with Byron. But not only Byron, also Chidobe and the whole crew back there, I think, have really benefited not only from his energy but from his philosophy, his teaching style. And then, of course, I think Rod and the rest of the staff have embraced him in terms of, his play calling ability that complements what Rod does. And, I just think it's been a great fit for that defensive staff.
As you look forward now with all the openings in the National Football League at the head coaching spot and the possibility of him interviewing, though, is there a little bit of there, you kind of know what you have and you hope that, that maybe that's not the right fit for him and he were to maybe come back if that were the case? Or do you just kind of hold your breath and wait to see what happens here? Or is it one of those things that you can maybe be a little proactive, or is it just kind of in someone else's hands?
Well, right now we're focused on winning this playoff game.
Right.
And certainly when the season's over, we'll certainly address all those things. But I can tell you, Chris is laser focused on beating the Seahawks.
Right.
I know the entire staff is. And that's where our focus is right now, too. And certainly when seasons come to a halt, then you're full speed ahead and focused on what your strategy is for the future. And if you don't happen to be the Super Bowl champion, then you start to strategize immediately on what you have to do to eventually win a Super Bowl championship.
So what's the status of Suofilo, and have you seen, can you give us your evaluation of, what you've seen out of Connor Williams and his limited action since he's returned from his knee injury?
Well, I think he's doing well. I mean, obviously any offensive lineman who steps into the NFL as a rookie, has challenges, whether it's a Tyron Smith when he came in the league or Travis Frederick or Zach Martin, is a rarity going to a Pro Bowl his first year. But, he's had his challenges, but he's also a guy we think he can, really help us win football games. And he started most of the games this year. He's actually been versatile and been able to move and fill in for Zach when he was hurt. And I just really feel like he can answer the bell if that's what we need to do here Saturday night, that he'll step up and fill that role and do it in a big-time way. And Xavier right now, I think, is, he's obviously struggling with the injury. Hasn't done much this week, but we hadn't ruled him out.
Steven, if I could flip it over on the defensive side of the ball real quick, how did you find a guy like Antoine Woods? I mean, obviously Will McClay and those guys, Henry Sroka and all those guys that are on the pro side come up to you and tell you, but how does that process work? I mean, he's been incredible for a guy to get off the street and all of a sudden he's just one of your best starters, one of your best guys in the front seven. How is that? How does that work out with him this year?
Well, first of all, I think one of the best things Will McClay does is his interaction and how they communicate with the staff and how the scouts, and they understand exactly what our coaches are trying to accomplish and what type of personnel they need. And I think that's how you get an Antoine Woods. I think Will very much understands the type of defensive lineman Rod wants in his scheme. And, you turn on the tape and you watch him when Will wanted to show him to me. And, you can just see the things, the qualities, the skills that that Woods has that Rod likes. And, it was a no-brainer. Certainly he's probably, played to a level that's, even more than we thought he could.
Yes.
But, he's a very tough guy. He's, quick twitch. He's strong. He's strong at the point. And he's, really what Rod looks for in a nose. One of the things Rod told us early is you don't have to pick noses in my scheme high because you want to go after the under tackles and the pass rushers. But, we can find nose tackles. But obviously Woods has been exceptional. He plays football exactly the way we want him to play. You can count on him. He's always there for you. And You know, I expect him to have another big night Saturday against the Seahawks.
Well, Stephen, we appreciate the time talking to you every Friday, of course, here on the Ben and Skin Show. And we will look forward to whiting out the stadium tomorrow night and bringing home a big Cowboys victory.
Well, we're fired up, and boy, we need all our fans coming to the game to be ruckus and rowdy. Obviously, Seattle's got a great home field advantage when we went up there to play them, but I really feel like our fans are going to show up in a big way, and that can, you know, really make a difference in a game like this in terms of how your fans get involved in the game. So encourage everybody to go out and be a part of it. I think we're prepared as a team. I think we'll play well, and I'm very optimistic in terms of what we can do tomorrow night.
Yeah, all right. I wish we could kick it off right now. I'm ready to go. Stephen, thank you so much.
Let's go.
All right, have a good one, man. Talk to you tomorrow night.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know why I said I'd talk to him tomorrow night. I'm not going to see him tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll say hello for you.
But
if I see him tomorrow night. But yeah, they've done a nice job. You know, the front office has done it. When you look at this situation and, you know, 3-5, and trust me, it pains them to give up that first round pick. So obviously they felt enough about Amari Cooper to make that trade. And as he told you, he looks for him in the future. You know, that's something that they're going to have to consider. Cooper will be about a $14 million player next year. And then after that, you're going to have to do another contract.
Awesome, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.